shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The pictures are eventually going to get out. And then you just relive the intensity.
The fact of the matter is, as the president described, these are graphic photographs of someone who was shot.
Some speculation, but I think really on top of that has been we've seen dramatic economic growth.
The teacher told the student that, "I bet you're grieving," and she basically looked at him and was like, "What are you talking about?
An ice cream vendor."
You're grieving? I know I'm grieving. I'm grieving because it's only a three-hour show, man. I wish we had more time. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, and they shan't, and they wan't. And anyway, welcome to our program. We're in live high-definition video on our website, philhendryshow.com, and we are, you know, like a multimedia thing. And if you have a backstage pass, you can watch us. You can listen to our archives. You can go into our news feed and comment. You can listen to our podcast, daily podcasts of the show. You can interact with us via email. You can do a lot of things. You become extraordinary. You become almost superhuman with a backstage pass to philhendryshow.com. And that's where we are right now. We also want to tell you that this evening we're going to be talking with Dean Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler with the Northern California Holistic Center will be discussing the controversy surrounding the naming of bin Laden, one of the targets in the SEAL mission in Pakistan. He was codenamed Geronimo. And there are those, some Native Americans, who are taking exception to that. We're going to be talking tonight to Mr. Wheeler about that, and to find out exactly what can be done, if anything is necessary. We'll be starting off with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Very interesting article on Americans. We want to talk to the SEALs. We want to meet them. We want to be around them. I believe it's the Captain Sullenberger. I think it's very uniquely American. We are enamored of our heroes, going back to the very beginning of this country. Going back to the days of George Washington, you know, and the way this country grieved when he passed on, we love our heroes. We want to be close to them. We want to know them. We want to hear their stories. We want to know how they did what they did and why they did what they did. And it's uniquely American. Another thing that's very uniquely American is, unfortunately, we like to tear our heroes down. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. President Obama says he is not going to release the images of a dead Osama bin Laden while the country wants to know who were those SEALs. We'll talk with Bobby Dooley in a moment. A high school cheerleader gets kicked off her squad after refusing to cheer for an athlete that she says raped her. Plus, a woman in Dubai is suing her husband for not having sex with her. We'll take a good long look at her. And no, what we're going to do is talk about this. And then Bobby and Dean Wheeler with us tonight, our affiliate spotlight on WDTW 1310 AM in Detroit and on KPSI 920 AM in Palm Springs. Two great affiliates on our Phil Hendry Radio Network. 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, every Saturday night we're live on KFI here in Los Angeles, as well as KTLK AM 1150. I don't know what you guys were talking about on Twitter today. Hey, Phil, are you on KTLK? I can't even hear. I don't know what you're talking about. We're on the air on KTLK. We're on the air on Saturday night. We're on in New York. We're on in Miami. We're on in places that we're not even on in yet. It's kind of a time warp thing. All right, Bobby Dooley joining us. Ms. Dooley, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. Very good, thank you.
And we're talking here this evening about the American need to, that seems to be expressing itself in corners across this country. Patrons in bars across the country are raising toasts, hoping that the gesture of gratitude would somehow reach the clandestine Navy SEAL team. Many of them feel frustrated. Incomplete. Scores of people responding to the question posed by the Associated Press, what would you tell the Navy SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden if you could convey a message? There are all kinds of questions being asked, and one of them was more a statement that you made today to a couple of members of the media, and you also put into a Homeowners Association newsletter, and that had more to do with an intimate aspect of the Navy SEALs, didn't it?
Well, Phil, before we talk about that, I want to give it some context. We're very, very proud of the United States Navy SEALs that conducted this mission. We're very, very proud of all of our fighting men and women and the dangers that they faced in going into this country, Pakistan, and going into this compound and killing this man who is well known to be very dangerous and killed so many innocent people. It takes great bravery. This is a very unusual story, because we don't see a story like this that often. As you mentioned, we had Captain Sullenberger, and every now and again we have people that we really admire and have done such great things. We're so used to the bad news, you know.
Boy, that's the truth.
And so when we get good news, we want to express it somehow. And the newsletter, I think, was done tastefully, and I think it was true. In that,
what exactly did you say? And then we can put the question to the audience, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, what we said was, Steve, my husband Steve is here, and you.
Yeah, that a man give up his wife.
Yes, we were at the Homeowners Association meeting, and we were talking about getting some sprinklers finally put in up near our security gate, and I stood up and I said, you know what, let's quit pretending that we want to do business. Let's stop making fools of ourselves, and let's get it said. And I said it. I said, there are women here, and there are men here. And many of the women are married, and so are the men. But you know, and I know, that the men in this country would most likely allow their wives or their girlfriends to become deeply intimate with one of these seals. And I said to the Homeowners Association, it was our steering committee, I said, let's quit fooling around. We were talking about sprinklers, and we were talking about some of the aspects of our summer tackle. I said, let's just stop and say what's on our minds. You know as well as I do that you men would allow your wives or your girlfriends to be deeply, deeply intimate. And everyone stopped and stared at me, and I waited for what I knew was going to happen. And believe it or not, applause broke out.
Applause?
Well, I think it's because I was saying something that everyone needed to say. We've been dancing around this, Phil, all week, you know, ever since the news broke. We want to meet the SEALs. We want to, you know their story. There's so much about these men that would be exciting to know. But as a woman, and I think as men, we have to admit that on some level there is a wanting to give up to these men something that belongs to us. In the case of men, I dare say that men would not have any problem with their women desiring these men in an intimate way. And in some ways, it's almost tribal. So I said, what we need to do is write a letter and tell them we're not offering anybody, but we will say we offer the intimacy of our women.
And oh, let me slow you up here, because this is wild what you're saying. I mean, you were talking about having a discussion, and I can understand perhaps a discussion like this coming up in the middle of a Homeowners Association meeting, which was a little strange, because you said you were talking about sprinklers.
Well, see, that was the thing that surprised me, too. We were talking about sprinklers, and we were talking about drainage for an area that's been flooding at the very back southeastern corner of the property. But I could see people were pushing pencils around, and their mind was not on what we were talking about. So I stood up, and I said, all right, let's get it said. You men and you women, you know that you men would almost want to offer your wives or your girlfriends.
Well, that's the part, if you don't mind me interrupting you, that's the part that I find bizarre. I don't know what to say. That you sent a letter to the SEALs, or...
No, what we did, Phil, is we drafted, and I'd appreciate it very much if you would stay with me on this, because I know that your temptation is to sort of make fun of things.
I drafted a letter, Mr. Henry. I'll
do it, Steve. We drafted a letter, and in it, and we did address it to the Pentagon, in it we said, you know, I am speaking for millions of American women. Millions of American women want some level of intimacy with these SEALs. And I am simply saying to you, as a tribal right, if you will, and the tribe being the tribe of Americans, all of us together, there would be nothing wrong with that.
There would be nothing wrong with the women of America offering themselves sexually to these SEALs.
I didn't use the word sexually because it's not a sufficient word. I used the word intimately because that bespeaks not only sex, it bespeaks love. And that is really what we're talking about. The American female and the American male, in a tribal rite that is thousands of years old, offering the female sexually, but intimately. And that is what makes it, I think, pure, clean. It freshens it.
All right, let me give our number here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, and the desire of the American people to meet and talk to these Navy SEALs expressed by Ms. Dooley and her homeowners association in a letter drafted to the SEALs that American women would like to have, basically, forgive me for putting it this way, sex with these SEALs.
No, I did not put it that way, Phil. I said intimacy.
All right, but what you're saying is basically this. The SEALs are so important that a brief immorality and infidelity would be tolerated by American men and women. The women would have sex with the SEALs, and the men would be okay with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying, and I checked it out with Steve, my husband.
And your husband would be fine with you having sex with one of these SEALs?
You know, the accusatory way that you put that is very interesting because...
I'm sorry, but I find it to be immoral. I find it to be something that you are expecting the SEALs to engage in. So you would expect these men, these brave men and highly skilled men, to have sex outside of the confines of their marriage.
You don't understand, Phil. Men like that cannot necessarily be held by a single woman. Now, I know you've heard that before in a lot of different ways, but it is true that a man like that, the woman in his life knows already that women are going to want him. What I am trying to say is that American men need to understand now that their women...
That their women want to have sex with these Navy SEALs.
That their women, yes, but that desire is there.
And that we should give in to that, and why should we give in to that?
And that we should give in to it, and you know, Phil, you're interrupting me. Demonstrating, what's your mom want? My wife's a kid. But you're interrupting me, Phil.
Well, I got to get on with this. You want the American women will have sex with these SEALs because why?
Because that is their natural instinct, and because in this particular instance, it is, in my opinion, not immoral.
Well, I beg to differ.
Would you deny your woman? Would you deny her that?
It's not up to me to deny or to allow my woman to do anything.
Well, I think that's very cozy, Phil, and I think...
Well, you know, it's not meant to be cozy. I can't deny my woman anything, I can't grant her anything, but I would expect her fidelity, even if one of the Navy SEALs that killed Bin Laden came to my house, sat down, had drinks with me and my family, had dinner with my family, sat there through the evening in my living room and told his stories in an increasingly exciting and fantastic way and had everybody spellbound, I would still expect my wife not to sleep with him. Now, I can't necessarily say she wouldn't be aroused by him. She might even be attracted to him. I can understand that. It happens. You know the old saying about where you get hungry as long as you eat at home? You know.
Well, that's ridiculous. I've heard that, and I don't understand that one at all.
It doesn't matter where you get hungry as long as you eat at home. You've never heard of that?
No, I've heard it. It's asinine.
Get hungry, you're going to go to a restaurant.
I know you're going to go to a restaurant, but we're talking about something completely different here. We're talking about sex. And what you're saying, Ms. Dooley, is that it would be completely acceptable and moral for any woman in America to have sex with one of the Navy SEALs that killed Bin Laden because their husbands would consider it an honor, and it's tribal, and suddenly all bonds of marriage fall away. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I am saying to a degree. I am saying it would be intimacy, and I am saying something that I don't think you understand. Most men would grant it. It would be a grant, a quid pro quo. There's a legal doctrine, and it's called in grantum or to grant.
To grant what?
To allow your wife to grant sex unto another man. And in the case of these Navy SEALs, it would be It would not be infidelity.
Well, I don't understand what lawyer you're quoting there. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley, who says any man would be happy and willing to let their wife or girlfriend sleep with any of the Navy SEALs involved in the Bin Laden mission. What's your take on this? Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll take your calls when we come back at 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We're with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley here as we talk about Americans yearning to talk to the SEALs in the Bin Laden raid, yearning to speak to them and to meet them. It's a very American thing to want to just kind of reach out and touch our heroes. And these Navy SEALs, we probably never will because they are obviously a covert unit to the extent that, they hide their identities. Bobby, a question for you before we get to the phone calls here. You're talking about it would be a moral thing, I think you said, if women had sex, but you say intimacy.
Yes, I said intimacy, Phil, and I'd really appreciate it if you kept your mind on that word, because to say sex is to... It really narrows it and cheapens it.
All right, but I want to ask you a question. What if one of these SEALs is gay?
Then I think it doesn't change anything. If he is gay, then I think there are a great many young gay men who are in marriages, gay marriages, whose partners would allow it.
Oh, really? Well, let me ask you this. There's don't ask, don't tell right now, so how would we ever know that he's gay?
You know, I think that's a very despicable question. I think in this instance, to not allow that man to express himself.
No, I would agree with you. I think the man should be allowed to express himself, but we don't have that rule just yet. I don't think. So he's the guy that doesn't get to have sex?
But gentlemen, we're not talking about some cheap sex.
It's not a bachelor party, Mr. Henry.
No, but I know it's not a bachelor party, but you're talking about giving it up intimately to these SEALs. What if one of them was gay? You see, what I'm trying to say to you is the following thing. To offer our thanks to the SEALs by some tribal rite, as you call it, where I, as the man, offer my woman, and the woman gives herself intimately to the SEAL... is all fine and dandy, but in reality and in practice, I don't know that the whole thing works. Let's go to a phone call. Here is Celeste on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, Celeste.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the whole situation about having sex with a Navy SEAL. I think having sex outside of your marriage is just barbaric to begin with. I don't understand why it should be allowed with a Navy SEAL just because he killed Bin Laden.
Because he's an extra special... This is very tribal, Celeste. In other words, in the days when man traveled as a tribe, it was religious almost to offer this to the warrior. He is our warrior. Are you telling me you would be attracted to him?
Okay, is Celeste there, Celeste? I guess we lost the call. 877-876-7445. Let's move on to... So how would you respond to that?
Well, I respond to it the same way that I've been... telling you, I think it is not barbaric, it is not immoral, it is, in point of fact, something we offer up to the SEAL so that he is emboldened and strengthened and knows that we would give him anything for what he's done.
877-876-7445. Here is Christina. Go ahead, Christina, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
First of all, I think it would be ridiculous. I mean, I think that... No, everybody would be strangers to each other, and I think it would just
not
cause
really,
a big
really. It would be
horizon.
A one-time-only thing. It would be a one-time-only thing. You would be required by your husband to give of yourself. And are you saying no, you wouldn't? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if I had a husband, you know, I'm a mother, but if I had a husband, I don't think he would. Of it.
But let's say he said to you, and, you know, I'm just fooling around, he said, go on in there, Christine, and shake hands with it. You know, go, whatever a man says, they say a lot of stupid things. Would you not then do as your husband directed?
Well, that's not what you said.
You wouldn't go in and have sex with a Navy SEAL that just killed Bin Laden, saved your children, saved your life. You wouldn't do that. I think you would. I think you would, and I think you would. In the middle of the night, we'd hear what we thought were coyote yips. And it would very well be you.
Phil,
that's really what I'm saying.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHILM. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. The use of the name Geronimo as the code name for the primary target, Bin Laden, has been criticized by some in Native American circles and elsewhere. We're going to discuss that with Dean Wheeler at the top of the hour. And then in our final hour of the show, of course, is our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up some of these neat and keen items in our merchandise store. We have the Phil Henry T-shirt all set for you for the summer. We also have our shot glasses. Man, those Phil Henry shot glasses are a beautiful thing. We will be having yucca parties here on Phil TV. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that, man. Don't worry about that. We're going to have some serious-ass yucca parties on Phil TV this coming summer. So if you don't have your backstage pass, you're going to miss our yucca parties. You're going to miss all kinds of stuff. 877-876-PHILM. Ms. Dooley, before we move on, you mentioned something about the stealth technology on one of the choppers being left behind?
Yes. One of the helicopters crashed, and there was a rotor blade attached to that section of the helicopter. It contained very, very important stealth technology. Obviously, one of the SEALs was responsible for demolishing that helicopter, and he was not successful in at least the extent of destroying that. So we obviously would want that individual identified. It would be very difficult, just speaking as a woman, to give myself intimately to a man who was just a little bit below. You know?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't know whether I'm outraged more about the fact that you want to have sex with these guys, and now you're telling me that, well, this guy wouldn't be deserving of the same kind of sex because he left a stealth technology behind?
That's right. Only weird, okay?
Hold on. I can't hear your husband at all.
I'm sorry. Steve is saying it stands to reason. It only stands to reason that you're not going to offer yourself up intimately to one of the SEALs that left behind this stealth technology that the Pakistanis, or I don't know what country, that
Pakistan.
Yes, that they will use to plot more murders or whatever they do. I don't know.
Pakistan ostensibly is an ally of ours. Did they butcher this beyond recognition? Yes. Was it, as they say in the military, FUBAR? You bet. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that they are assisting Al-Qaeda in planning these missions. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cindy. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
I'm offended when she says she speaks for millions of women. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a tattoo that says that you are property of
mm-hmm.
your husband?
Mm-hmm. What's that? Do I have a tattoo? No, of course I don't. This would be ritualistic.
Well, it sounds like you are acting, I mean, you act like you are property of your husband. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
are, if you
mm-hmm.
appreciate what these SEALs
mm-hmm.
did, why not
mm-hmm.
write a heartfelt letter expressing your gratitude with your words instead of saying you have to give your body to a man that you don't know?
Well, I think
I'm offended
at
a woman.
But Cindy, what's offensive to me is you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I said what's offensive to me is that you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, as a woman, if you saw one of these SEALs,
absolutely not.
You'd be all over him. You'd be all
over
him.
No, absolutely not. Just because I appreciate something a man has done doesn't mean I want to throw myself at him. And doesn't if mean you I were, have to show my appreciation sexually. I am perfectly capable of showing my appreciation to somebody without showing it sexually.
If your husband was out of town, is what I'm saying.
What do you mean if her husband was out of town?
I don't have to do with whether or not my husband's out of town or not. I'm saying I don't have to show my appreciation through sex.
No, you don't. But I wanted to tell you something. It isn't about you. It's about the Seals. And if that's what they want...
I understand that, but don't say that you're speaking for millions of people, please.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think I am. I think I'm speaking for you. And I think you are saying what you're saying for public consumption.
Well, you can't even take the lady at her word.
I take her at her word, but I think there are a lot of people that she doesn't want to offend.
So, in other words, there's not a woman that could call this show and say, I don't want to have sex with the Navy SEALs that you would believe because you think she's just being coy. And
there's not a woman listening to me right now that doesn't know what I'm talking about. But if one of those SEALs came in and said, hi, I'm one of the SEALs that got Osama bin Laden, that you wouldn't be all over him like white on rice. And
I can honestly say I would not. I would have to say that I have evolved beyond that point in my life.
Well, if you're too old, I understand that. But I'm talking about younger women. And
she didn't say she was too old. Maybe she's just too
old,
married.
Honey. Believe me, I'm not too old.
Well, the way you said that, you went, I'm not too old. It cracked a little, the voice, is what I'm saying. So here is what...
All right. You know, Bobby, it doesn't have to be an issue of whether... Thank you very much, Cindy, for your call. An issue whether someone's too old. Can you not accept someone at their word?
Well, a moment ago, this is what you said, Phil. You went, okay, Bobby. Now, do I take that to mean you have epilepsy? Do I take that to mean you have some nascent Lou Gehrig's disease? No, I don't. So I am taking you at your word.
What has that got to do with what I'm talking about?
When the lady said she wasn't too old, this is what she said. She went, I'm not too old. Did you hear that?
No, I heard that too, Mr. Henry.
No, I heard her voice crack. I heard the lady's voice crack. It could very well have been that she was in mid-laugh or something. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about the Navy SEALs and a story today that was in... a lot of publications and on the internet, the Associated Press story, Americans yearn to talk to SEALs in bin Laden raid. We yearn to speak to these men. We yearn to meet our heroes. And Ms. Dooley is saying that there is a need, a yearning, something primal, something tribal in the hearts of men and women that men would give up their wives or girlfriends for intimate sex with one of the SEALs and they'd be fine with it. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be fine with it.
Again, I think it's something that you're saying now, but when you... If the Navy SEAL walked into your home and looked you up and down and then looked at your wife, in that instant, Phil, would be the thought in your mind, you know, he's right.
What do you mean he's right? He hasn't said anything.
He doesn't need to say anything. All he has to do is come in and look at you, and he'll look you up and down, and you're thinking, you know what? It's yours. It's your world, brother. It's your world, I'm just washing the dishes.
Yeah, it's your world, I'll just run out to the CVS and get the condoms.
All right, thank you very much for that insult. You guys think it's a joke, you know?
No, I don't think it's a joke. I don't think it's a joke. I think it's definitely that. It's your world.
Yeah, it's your world. It's your world, I'll make the breakfast.
It's your world, brah.
It's your world, brah, huh? 877-876-7445. Let's go to Teresa in Alabama. Teresa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley. Turn down or whatever. Here is, I think it's Bennett. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bennett.
Oh, yes. Hello. I'm sorry, a little bit of static there. I think it's kind of a little presumptuous to assume that these high-caliber individuals, these Navy SEALs, would accept such an offer. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe mm-hmm. some would, maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. We'll never know who they are in national security.
Well, that's not really the point. That's not the point. The point is to make the offer. To make the offer. And I think it's long overdue.
That would also lead into the second part of it is that, I think it's really, really presumptuous to say that, and especially insulting that men should offer their wives One, I can't offer my wife, because if she were to accept an offer, she wouldn't be my wife anymore.
Wait a minute. You understand who I'm talking about, these Navy SEALs, right?
Yeah, I understand. And I really, really appreciate what they've done, but I think it's insulting to them.
Who did? Well, you don't know that. You'd have to ask them.
Well, yeah, we would have to ask them, wouldn't they? Or wouldn't we? You know.
Well, what if you... we're not talking about that. You can ask them. What I'm talking about is making myself ready for the for that moment of commingling, and the husband making me ready. And that would be a necessity of... There's two steps. There's the commingling, and there is the advance.
Well, I don't know any of this stuff, man, whether it's tribal or whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. What this gentleman is saying here is that the woman, any woman that takes up an offer to have sex with a Navy SEAL, whether or not the guy wants to have sex with her or not, has given up her marriage bonds.
And I'm telling both of you men, no, she hasn't. It's religious.
All right. 877-876-7445. Let's move on here to... I think it's Dervin. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Well, this is the thing. I'm a 17-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. I was a search and rescue diver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have worked with the SEALs before, with Rangers, the Green Berets, and a majority of them on specialized missions. These people are secretive. They will never tell you who they are. You will not know who they are. Majority of these men have families. They have wives. They have kids.
And
they
have sex with someone and not have to know their name. You know
well,
that.
I tell you what, they're not going to come to you. They're not going to come to anybody. They are a very, very secretive group.
No,
they are designed that way. They're not going
to
quote this out because they're not going
to
do it because one, their lives depend on their secret nature. They will not reveal themselves because, let me tell you something, people have died before.
We can keep the lights off.
People
keep
have
the
died
off.
Before because of these, because of incidents like that. Because they got their picture taken somewhere, they got something done, somebody got seen on a photograph, and if they're identified by the enemy, which is Al-Qaeda,
now, what about
and
that,
all these
Bobby?
Other terrorist groups, they are a target. They will be killed.
I think they should have the option, at least, of knowing that we are willing to have sex with them and that the men of this country are willing to offer their wives up in this tribal right.
Well, SEALs are not going to take it. They are not going to take
know
it.
That you, I don't know that you can say that.
I do know some SEALs. Let me tell you something. They will not take it.
Well,
they value their lives
them,
more than having
sex
with a strange woman.
She wouldn't be strange. She'd introduce herself. Not only that, but they're getting photographs and picking from them ahead of time.
And how's that working?
We mail photographs to them. So Dervin or Derwin, Derwick?
Yeah.
We've thought of all of this. Okay? We've thought of all of this.
Do you know that if you reveal their photographs in any form of fashion on the internet, web, anything, and it is transmitted, you will be arrested for treason. And treason during the time of war is
going to transmit their photographs. We're not transmitting their photographs. We're transmitting our photographs. The only picture that I would want, all I'd want would be one picture with him standing under the veranda or high from our hotel.
You're not going to get any photo. What do you mean high?
Just his arm. We'll pixelate his face.
You know, what you're hearing here from this gentleman is you may be offering, and what if they don't take you up?
Well, I think if they don't take us up on it, it's because people like Derwood have been calling them morning, noon, and night, leaving voice messages, and basically putting the fear of Jesus into them. And I think that that's wrong.
The fear of Jesus? These guys just took out Bin Laden.
I just
they're going to be afraid.
Up from sleeping because I couldn't sleep and turned on the radio and heard your gibberish.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one that's going to be feeding them full of gibberish. You're going to call them up and go, Mr. Navy SEAL, don't talk to Bobby Dooley because she wants to park it on your nose. Oh, please.
Okay.
By the way,
thank you.
As far
Good
as
God.
The helicopter with the blade, they won't even know how to use that. These people have no idea what they're dealing with. All they see is wreckage.
SEAL,
with the SEAL that left that behind, though, he's going to have to get...
And there's no technology in these blades. Most countries have these type of blades on these helicopters.
Not these. These are stealth. This is stealth technology for the...
Ma'am, I have flown in over 100 missions on paved loads, helicopters, and on secret missions. They are not in the blade.
Did you fly a stealth helicopter? No.
They're not stealth helicopters. They're called paved loads. They're a standard operating helicopter.
No, it's a SEAL helicopter. Everything they use is...
It is a paved load.
Some cloaking. It has a cloaking device.
If you join the military, you understand what I'm talking about.
A cloaking device is from Star Wars.
No, it isn't. It's from Star Trek.
All right, whatever, Star
Trek.
The
only two aircraft that have any type of clothes to be in any type of stealth is the F-117 and the B-2. They're not helicopters.
Do they have invisible helicopters yet?
No,
they're not invisible.
They flew below the radar. That's why the Pakistani couldn't see them.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference. That's why they use helicopters.
Oh,
they can fly below the radar.
I see. Well, what were they saying on TV, Steve, about the stealth technology and the rotors?
There is no stealth technology in rotors. What they're talking about is a sound dampening system.
Mm-hmm.
The sound dampening system everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
Even Pakistan has.
All right. Thank you very much. Good call, Derwood, and thank you for giving us some background on a lot of this stuff. And, Ms. Dooley, you're extremely rude going,
What?
I can hear you going, into the phone. You're not doing that.
No, I'm not. Well, a little bit. Steve's taking the phone from me, and at times, aren't you, Steve?
Well, keep the phone, if you don't mind, Ms. Dooley, in your own hands. I'd appreciate that. 877-876-7445. If you're a woman listening to me right now, if you're a man listening to me right now, Bobby and Steve Dooley are on and organized some effort to contact the United States Navy and the Navy SEALs to tell them that the women of America would be happy to give themselves up intimately to the SEALs and their husbands would approve. It's a very wide, and Ms. Dooley is describing this as tribal, and the guy who left the stealth technology behind in the rotor blades, he'd have to get seconds. 877-876-7445. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show right after this.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yes, you did. We're back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, I'm asking you simply that we have... there are people listening who may not appreciate the language. Is she on the line? All right, now bring her back up, will you, bud, because I've got to, I just want to make that one point with her. Ms. Dooley, did you hear what I said?
Yes, I heard what you said, and I'm not aware of any language that I've been using.
When you said something about parking something on someone's...
That was my husband, Steve.
I said about you got to park it in a New York minute.
He said that I would park it in a New York minute, but he did not say where.
All right, well, that's fine. But the term park it I find to be a little untoward and unladylike, if you'll pardon me for saying that.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but I am a lady. I'm talking about... Giving it to our SEALs, not giving it just to any bum in a bar. I've had it up to here with guys at bars, okay? I don't need that anymore.
My wife, can assure you, Mr. Henry, my wife doesn't need any more guys in bars.
I don't need that anymore. I've done that.
Really?
Oh, what does that mean? Oh boy.
You call my wife what?
You're the guy that brought it up.
That is so rude.
Wait a minute. Ms. Dooley, you're the one that brought up the bar scene, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Elizabeth in Bakersfield, California on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been listening to this conversation, and I agree with the lady on only one point. What these Navy SEALs did was a noble thing.
There's no question about that. It was very noble. It was brave. And I am happy that Osama bin Laden is dead. However, I
what
am
did you call him? What did you call him?
You're
happy that Saul Loden.
I am really disgusted as a woman to hear you say, and to say that you're speaking for all women in general, that we would just have sex with these guys, that we would be that grateful that we would have sex with them?
Are you trying to tell me that the very men that saved your children's life, that saved your life, that you wouldn't be all over that? You
could
wouldn't be all over that?
Why don't you put it more? You're putting it in...
Said, like the previous caller said before, a few minutes ago,
she said...
More ways of expressing your appreciation. You could write a letter to these Navy SEALs. Expressing your appreciation.
I'm sure they'd really appreciate that.
Have sex with a random stranger for that.
The Navy, he's not a stranger.
Phil Hendry.
You'd be honest.
Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
The student ended up crying over what
the pictures are eventually going to get out. And then you just relive
the family with the least amount of income, who most likely had lost a job.
Thankfully, they're too young right now to actually ask the question.
I hate Jews.
I find him terrifying.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass each and every night, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Oh, what happened?
I turned it off. It's bugging me.
Okay, thank you. Then turn this one on, man. Turn this one on. Here we go. This is the sound of us marching over the soft heads. The ever-ripening, yes, but then eventually soft and rotting heads of liberals, so-called what do you think of this progressive thing? Every day on Twitter, I'm reading David Schuster. He's the only progressive I need to read to know. Man, are you catching trouble? Wow! All right. So that could either be our boots marching on the streets of America or the sound of us mashing like overripened grapes. But whatever it is, we are here with you every night here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Was it insensitive to Native Americans to give Osama bin Laden the codename Geronimo? We brought this up on Monday night. You may remember. Now, it might have been during the pre-feed or it might have been during the show, but we brought up the notion. He said, watch, this is going to be a problem, Geronimo. If you live in America and you are aware at all, you know certain things are just on their way to becoming problems. And sure enough, there it was. Coming up, our next guest says, absolutely, yes, it was a problem. And joining us this hour will be Dean Wheeler, 877-876-PHIL. Before we talk to Mr. Wheeler, you know that Mother's Day is coming up, and Mother's Day, Mother's Day is more of a must than Valentine's Day. You may be able to get away with missing Valentine's Day, but can you get away with missing Mother's Day? I don't think so. Pro Flowers, one of our great, great sponsors, has got an offer for you. It's the last minute. The moms in your life deserve to be celebrated, and time's running out to let them know how much you appreciate them. Order now to guarantee delivery in time for Mother's Day, a beautiful bouquet from ProFlowers.com. You just go to ProFlowers.com, you click on the microphone, and you enter in the name Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. The flowers are shipped fresh from the growers to anywhere in the United States, and if you watch our Phil TV HD broadcast or videocast, you can see that for the last week and a half, I had these beautiful tulips that are sitting right here on our broadcast console, and they just now have become a little wilty. You know, they're getting a little, I was going to say green around the gills, but...
No, it's supposed to be green.
But, you know, but for a solid week, more than a week, 8-9 days, they were the most beautiful. And so when ProFlowers says that they're fresh and gorgeous for 7 days, they're not kidding. We got these beautiful tulips. They were tight little buds or whatever the hell you call them. What do they call it?
Well, like a bouquet.
Not a bouquet, man. What do you call it when the flower ain't open yet?
It's like the flower ain't open yet.
All right. Well, when the flower ain't open yet, that's what it looks like when you get them. So ProFlowers.com. Now, there's some amazing specials available to my listeners. Just go to ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone, and enter Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, to unlock the special deals. ProFlowers.com, a great sponsor here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, we're moving on to another topic here. Dean Wheeler is the president and also one of the instructors at the Wheeler Hermitage, as well as the Northern California Holistic Center. He's joining us from Novato, California this evening to talk about the controversy around the name, the use of the name Geronimo, and Mr. Wheeler is driving back to the Bay Area tonight. Dean, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you for having us on your program.
The use of the name Geronimo as a code word in the operation that led to Osama bin Laden's killing has angered some Native Americans, according to the story in the New York Magazine, I think, and threatens to become an embarrassment for the Obama administration. Geronimo was an Apache warrior leader who fought for tribal lands against U.S. and Mexican foes in the 19th century and who, like bin Laden, evaded capture for many years. He was held as a U.S. prisoner of war from the time he was captured in 1886 until his death in 1909. It's been widely reported the U.S. forces said Geronimo EKI, enemy killed in action, to confirm bin Laden's death. You're familiar with this?
Unfortunately, I am, Phil. I have read the different accounts of the termination of Osama bin Laden, and all of the accounts that I've read have included, very unfortunately, the name of Geronimo. And you very succinctly described there that Geronimo was himself an individual that was engaged in insurgency action against the United States. Died as a prisoner of the United States. We think that this is a very heroic individual, Geronimo. We do not think that Osama bin Laden is a heroic individual, although I'm speaking for Native Americans now. I'm not necessarily speaking for myself. What my opinions are of Osama bin Laden are not important. I am a spokesperson only for Native Americans.
Well, I'm going to assume that you do not approve of bin Laden yourself personally.
Well, again, to enter into this with my own personal opinion is superfluous. So I really don't even want to talk about what my opinion might be. I am speaking for Native Americans. And the reason why I'm doing that, Phil, is because I am a native-born European-American. I'm a white man. It's not something that I'm particularly happy about. And when I say that, I'm not saying that I'm not happy with the family I was born with, but I'm not happy with being forced into the role of the white man speaking for our Native people because they, as you know, because they're Indian, they don't speak English. They speak their native tongues.
And well, certainly there are Native people that can speak English.
Of course, but the Native people that I'm speaking on behalf of are the core Native American who is outraged by the use of Geronimo. I dare say, Phil, if you're looking for a terrorist, Jesse James would have been a good name to use, but they can't use Jesse James because that was going to anger, I'm sure, a great many white people.
All right, Dean, you know, I don't know how you feel about what I'm going to say here, but I don't believe, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that it was the intention of anybody to offend Native people. I think the word Geronimo, and when I say the word now, I didn't say the name, I said the word. It's a word that has been used by, we're told, paratroopers, for instance, men who are training to become airborne. As they jump out of the plane, we've often heard that they use that word Geronimo. Sometimes it's used in battle. Sometimes it is taken on, in my view, a meaning apart from that which you know we know it originally as the name of, as you mentioned, this very brave man. Is there no room for that?
No, I don't. I think what you're doing there is you're and I can admire it to a point, Phil, but understand that the Native people that I'm speaking for don't find that amusing. They don't think it's particularly funny to hear the name of one of their great heroes shouted as some white man throws himself from an airplane, which, you know, as I think Clint Eastwood said it very famously in one of his films, it's not a natural act to throw yourself out of a perfectly good airplane. And to be shouting the name of a great Native American warrior while you're doing it, I think it's disgraceful.
So what we're asking here, Phil, is that an apology be given by the Navy SEALs themselves or members of the Naval Department, and that can be done by way of a tribal council, but only a tribal council in which there, again, is a religious sacrament. And
you know, you were the second guest tonight that we've had who is talking about a religious ritual in which to, in the last guest was talking about a religious ritual to honor the Navy SEALs. You're talking about a religious ritual to somehow purge whatever wrong has been done using the name Geronimo.
Well, something has to be done so that the name Geronimo is taken from the history books as a term for a mass murderer and is applied more intelligently to that man who we know as the Indian man named Geronimo.
You know, I want to ask you a question, Dean, here, and our number is 877-876-7445. You say you speak on behalf of Native people.
Yes, I do.
All right, well, you're saying the Indian people, you're using terms, you're saying that they don't speak English, and
I don't think I need to explain that, do I?
Explain what?
That the Native Indian people don't speak English.
Well, Native people have been among English speakers for so long, many of them do speak English.
Many of them do, yes. But those that still observe the old ways. And
well, are you speaking for only Native people that observe the old ways, or is this something that has been an affront to all Native American people?
Well, you have a problem there. If you're trying to tell me that a man in a business suit who runs a casino, yes, he's a Native American. There's no question in my mind that he's a Native American. But he doesn't need me to speak for him. In fact, he doesn't care whether the name Geronimo is used in a mission to kill bin Laden or not, because he manages a casino. But there are other Native people who do care. And they may speak English, they may not, but they are Native people. How do I make this? If you watched any of the shows about Native, they'll say this. Go ahead. That's my son Chris, and he's talking Indian, right? It's Indian talk.
Is that? It's Indian talk, but it's not Native. It's not a language.
It's not a language, no. But that's the way a lot of Indian talk sounds. And so I'm saying, when you say that Geronimo is the name...
You know, that's fine. All right. So Geronimo, so it's offending people. So now how are we supposed to clean this whole thing up? And I personally don't understand why you have to come on. Why can't I talk to a Native person?
Well, because I'm speaking on behalf... The Native people that I know, they're very innocent people. They're very shy people. They don't like to have their pictures taken. You are familiar with... I don't know how familiar with Native Americans you are. And
the Native Americans that I'm familiar with are not primitives. They are...
Of course they're not.
Well, what do you mean they don't like to have their pictures taken and they're shy?
I'm telling you that these are Native Americans. They're very modern. They just are very shy. And they don't like the white man's ways. And to insult them by using the name of one of their great people as the code name for a scumbag, there should be a tribal council and there should be some apologies. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Was it insensitive to Native Americans to give Osama bin Laden the code name Geronimo? Our next guest says absolutely yes. He says that he is speaking on behalf of Native Americans, but he is a white man. Is he manufacturing this controversy? Is this baloney? Is this something that we don't even have to worry about? We'll take your calls when we come back at 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, I know when they jump out of the bed.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
That's 877-876-7445.
And we're at the El Pacifico here tonight. Our Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico Studios, our number 877-876-7445. Joining us is Dean Wheeler from, actually on his way to Northern California this evening as we discuss a controversy that sprung up with the use of the code word Geronimo during the Osama bin Laden raid that eventually did kill this terrorist. Using the name Geronimo is offensive, I am told, to a great many Native Americans. I don't know exactly who. Mr. Wheeler is joining us, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. When you talk about speaking on behalf of some of the Native people, I don't exactly know who it is, but be that as it may, that's what you're saying.
I am telling you, Phil, and I have said this to you over and over again, the Native people need representation because their culture and their current life status, a great many of them are into what you and I have, and what they call the fire water, what that is...
I know what fire water. Are you talking about alcohol?
Well, the way I didn't understand. It sounded like you said I didn't understand.
Alcohol. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, I am. And when you walk into a casino and you ask one of the Native managers, as I did today, when I was driving by Morongo Indian Casino, and I went in and I talked to one of the Native men, I don't know his name, it was an Indian name, running an animal, and I asked him, and I said, do you know what they're doing with the name Geronimo? And he said, why do you bother me with this? And he went on to tell me they were having a record-breaking day on the slots. So what do I say to him? And how do I then take that back to my people, the Native people, who are drinking from a stream and are listening to the rocks to hear the voices of their ancestors speaking to them from the sound of the stream and the rock talking to them? See, you don't know what I just said, do you?
No, I don't know what you just said. What did you say?
It is a parable, and it's a Native American parable.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, Phil, you know, I'm not going to tell you because you're acting a little arrogant. And
all right, let's get to the names that could have been used. I've got a lot of people who want to talk. What name should have been used then instead of Geronimo?
Don't make light of this, Phil.
I'm not making light of it. What name should have been used?
Why wouldn't they use the name Jesse James? Jesse James was a terrorist. Why don't they use the name Custer? Custer was a bumbling imbecile who bumbled his way into the middle of a massacre. But what about Jefferson Davis? What about Richard Nixon? Why not use these names that have gone down in history as bumbling, fumbling lunatics that, you know...
Well, the names you just gave me, I would not immediately think of these men, all of them, as bumbling and fumbling, nor would I call them lunatics, except perhaps in the case of Custer. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let's go to Melissa now on the Phil Henry Show. Melissa, you're on with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. My question is, what qualifies you to speak on the behalf of the Native Americans? What are your qualifications?
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. My qualifications are twofold. My sensitivity to the actual rooted into the soil culture of the Native people. The fact that I can sit in a tribal council and understand what they're getting at. That I can sit down and talk to just pick one out and I'll talk to a Native American and they'll talk to me. You see, and so I have an understanding, and that I've developed, and I've developed it over many years. I started by giving money to many of them that would go in and get the fire water, and then I realized I was doing the wrong thing. And that's how I began to develop, and a lot of them do odd jobs for me, you know, around our hermitage. And I brought a couple of them in last week. We were having a party, and they brought in the drums and all of that. And people like that and appreciate that. Does that answer your question?
Well, I just don't feel that you're qualified to speak on their behalf just because you hang out with them. I feel that if they're upset about it, they're going to speak on their own behalf. And as far as the casinos go, I'm glad they have casinos because it's their way of getting back some of what's due to them. But
well, I don't necessarily disagree, but I think that when they are when they're paying more attention to the casinos than they are to the wisdom that I'm trying to impart to them. You know, I'm trying to tell them.
But the casinos help them. I know several people of Native American descent that they get a good chunk of money from the casinos, and they're happy with that. But
What about Firewater?
What is it with you and Firewater, man?
Yeah, I think. You don't need to use that terminology because it's silly. It's fire water. I mean, just say what it is. It's alcohol. But I lived in Los Lunas, New Mexico for a year, and there were a lot of Native Americans. We lived right on the outskirts of the reservation. And believe me, they can do their own talking.
If they speak English. They can if they speak English. All right. Right now, my wife is invited in this evening. We've got two of them. That's great. From the Chumash people here of the California coast. And let me say to you, Nandayanuinday Banda. And that means that there's no English word for it, but it's a good luck wish.
What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here?
What?
Who cares, man? I'm listening to flute music. You're talking about Firewater. Was there a problem with the name Geronimo, or wasn't there?
Yes.
I'm uncomfortable with it.
You don't like the name Geronimo, ma'am?
No, I'm kind of uncomfortable with it, you know, because
yeah.
I think they could have came up with something else. I don't know what else. I don't have a good suggestion, but I am a little uncomfortable.
How about Jesse James? What about Jesse James? What about saying Jesse James?
Will you turn
that
down, please?
That would have been fine with me. That wouldn't have bothered me. But, you know, like I'm saying, if they're upset about it, they're going to speak on their behalf. And obviously, no one from the Native Americans have come forward to complain.
Well, I have the name here of Jack Whitehorse, who did speak Eagle Bone. Here it is. Here's a guy by the name of Eagle Bone from the Ondaga National Council of Chiefs in New York. And he said that using Geronimo as the code name for bin Laden was reprehensible. To compare him to Osama bin Laden is illogical and insulting. The name Geronimo is arguably the most recognizable Native American name. I don't want to read the rest. It's kind of boring, but...
And you're speaking for Native American people, and it's boring, huh?
Well, that's nothing they understand.
Well, that was a Native American man that was saying it.
Some guy that owns a casino.
Oh, boy. Thank you very much, ma'am, for your call. I appreciate
it,
Melissa. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Bob in Washington. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Thank you, Phil, for taking my call. My name's Bob. I'm a Native American. And, mister, I think you're on a trip trying to pretend to be an Indian, and you're not. We have plenty of Natives who are very capable of speaking in public, and I don't know of a lot of Indians that go around speaking their native tongue. We speak English. And I served honorably in the U.S. Army. I'm a U.S. paratrooper. And when people use the name Geronimo, it's a battle cry for victory. It's used in a very honorable way, as did those Navy SEALs. So get off their back and leave them alone. They're serving our country, and they're out there defending you against terrorists. Leave them alone, okay? And let
were
the Native Americans
talker?
Take care of our trouble, not you.
You
we don't
code,
need
were
you.
You a code, were you a code
we
talker, sir?
What do you mean
we
a code
don't
talker?
Need you to try to defend us, mm-hmm. mister.
Well,
the Native Americans can speak for themselves.
Didn't you use your Indian language to confuse the Japanese or whatever? What are the code talkers?
I can't understand. You're very muffled.
I said, didn't you use your Native American language to confuse bin Laden or whoever you were fighting as a code talker?
What are you talking about? I didn't understand.
Were you a code
talker?
Were you a code talker?
Never what? Mind. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a break. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The fact of the matter is, as the president described, it's a graphic photograph of someone who's dying.
All right, enough of that. Welcome to another Phil Hendry Show. 877, oh my God, 877-876-PHIL. What is going on, man? What is going on? Oh, I better watch what I'm saying. President Obama says he will not release the images of a dead Osama bin Laden. Was that the right move? A high school cheerleader gets kicked off her squad after refusing to cheer for an athlete that she said raped her. You shouldn't talk about it, though, hon. You know, don't talk about it. No wonder you got kicked off. You brought up something that was wrong. You don't want to do that. Plus, a woman in Dubai is suing her husband for not having sex with her. I ought to just sit here all hour, man, and not say a word, you know. I mean, there's no point. We were going along. We were smoking along real good there, man. But you know what? That's just too much. Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Although, you know, we don't take any calls during our news and comment hour. Well, I'm very happy for the Navy SEALs for one reason, and I think it's the, you know, I know they did the whole thing against bin Laden. That's really important. I just like seeing guys doing their job well. I love to see people who know how to do their job. We live in a society today where fewer and fewer people do a good job. Everybody's making an excuse. Everybody's talking about how if only, if only, if only. Everybody is saying, oh, well, I can't, that's above my pay grade. Everybody is saying, oh, I, you know, that's not my job. Everybody is saying, well, I'd love to, I hear you, but let me get back to you. I got to talk to my superior. Everybody's digging in their heels. Everyone has their little power base. Everybody, they won't be talked to this way. Everyone's got a little placard for their desk that says who they are and what their little job is. Everybody is sort of carved out their little niche. But go the extra mile. I mean, really be a pro. Create. Knock hell out of this world, set a few world's records, surprise people, shock people, invent something. Are we doing that? No, man. And no wonder we thirst, we hunger for people like the U.S. Navy SEALs, the Sullenbergers, whoever we see, someone who is apart from the norm that we see every day. Because what we see every day are people that wouldn't go out of their way a half of an inch, man, for anybody or anything. They just want to get to 5 o'clock and get home because they've got fill in the blank to watch on TV. I mean, let's face it, people. What the Navy SEALs did, that operation, that is so far beyond our understanding. It's not even funny. That's why we want to meet those guys. That's why we want to talk to those guys. That's why we want to be around people like that. We've never seen anything like that before. We never see it in the course of our day. I'm not talking about guys that are blazing away with guns, going in and killing a bad guy. I'm talking about people that are doing an outstanding job. They're doing such a good job that it changes the way we do business. It changes things for the better. Everything around it changes because they're doing such a bang-up job. They're doing such a remarkable, a revolutionary job. The level of excellence is beyond our wildest dreams. Every day we go in and we watch ourselves or we watch other people do the job, and it's like, you know, you might as well be watching paint dry. It's the same. Oh, remember that commercial they used to do? What was that one that they did?
They're doing for like Wendy's. Same place, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Same place. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. They'd be going out to lunch.
Going out to lunch. These guys are shuffling out the door. And same place, same place, same thing, same thing. And just these boring, tired bastards going out to have the same thing, same place, same lunch, same. And that's the world we live in. Morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week. Do we inspire anybody with the work that we do? Do we have people stop by our desk or by our workshop or by our office? Or do they read anything we've written? Or do we have people who say, wow, you know, you are amazing what this guy, what this woman does. I mean, she's breaking records. These people are really stirring it up. These people are doing something. We live in a country full of people who got 9 million different reasons why they can't get anything done, and none of it's got to do with them. And I said to the crew, and I said this during the pre-show, and I'm not trying to talk about myself, but this is an example of what I mean. When I was at the Worldwide Radio Summit on Saturday, we were on a panel, and I was with some great people. I talked, you know, I mentioned Dr. Drew, Rick Dees was there, Big Boy from Power 106, bunch of professionals and some consultants and some cats that are in management, and people are saying, you know, Phil, you are one of the legendary talents in our business. You are one of the great talents in our business. Little do they know the gut-wrenching and teeth-grinding effort you have to put into every bloody show, everything you do every day. But they would say to me, man, the stuff you do, that's funny as hell. I mean, how did you think of doing those different things that you do? How did you think of doing this? How did you think of doing that? And, you know, I'll give them something simple like, well, I mean, it was just an instinct. But they have no idea, and I'm not about to go into it. They have no idea the battles that you have to fight. You have no idea. So when we see a Navy SEAL, when we see a Captain Sullenberger, when we see people that defy death to save the lives of others, and they do it for $54,000 a year, that's so far beyond our experience. We'd have to be reborn 6 or 7 times to even understand it. 54 G's a year for doing that? How many of us are even in that ballpark when it comes to commitment to career, courage, commitment to performing at a high level, and doing it for, let's face it, not the money? Henry David Thoreau once wrote, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Do you know what that means? It's pathetic. It's pathetic. The mass of men, he wrote, lead lives of quiet desperation. That the majority of people on the human race, on the face of the earth, are walking around tired and bored and completely disillusioned and wondering how it's ever going to change. I mean, that's what you see when you go to the, I don't know, like a restaurant, and you're going to sit down and just look at guys, some guy across from you, he looks like he's having himself a great time. He's having lunch with his boss. He's got to listen to his boss's bad stories and bad jokes. He's got to sit there. He is quietly desperate. Where am I? How am I going to break out of this? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How can I change my life? And you have to seize the moment, you know. You've got to take most of the time when we change our lives, we have to make a pretty gutsy call. Now, it's not a gut, you know, we've heard the term gutsy call with relation to President Obama and what he said ultimately to the commanders there on the ground and elsewhere. Let's go ahead and kill this guy. I mean, that's a momentous decision, but he's a president of the United States. That's what happens at that level. But in our own lives, we're making those decisions all the time. A gutsy decision to do what? You know, to change a job, to change a marriage, to be alone for the first time in 20 or 30 years. You know, these are things that These are just as big. But ultimately, to do something, whatever your art is, whatever your profession is, whatever your craft, whatever your job, to do it at such an amazing level that you command the respect of your fellows, this is a great achievement. We're never all going to be that famous. We're not going to be like the Navy SEALs that killed bin Laden. This will go down in history. This is now in the history books. This is something that in American history, 100 years from now, 100 years from now, American school children will hear of this terrorist who had murdered 3,000 people in New York City 100 years ago and who was ultimately, killed some 10 years later. That was the tenacity of the American people and the American military, that for 10 years we stayed at it and we found this guy and we killed him. That's changed, in my opinion. If you're a guy, if you're an Arab, if you're an insurgent or a terrorist or someone who considers himself an enemy of the United States, you're on notice today, man. You are on notice. You may hate us. No question about it. You hate our guts. We got that. We know. We heard. We got the telegram, man. So there's no question about that. But you just got put on notice that your ass is, we ain't never going to forget about you. And the best we can do as Americans is continue to support that. But when we look at those SEALs or anybody else that achieves something at that level, we ask ourselves, now, where is my, do I have a level of excellence in me? I mean, can I really knock that bloody ball? Can I go for the fence, man? What am I doing with my life? Man, I want to swing for the fences, you know? To me, that's the lesson of that. That's what I take away from all that stuff. Do I need to meet the SEALs? Hell yeah. If a guy said to me, hey, Phil, do you want to go down to the Irving Shopping Center? The SEALs are signing autographs. Yeah, sure, I'll go down. But it isn't so much that for me. For me is taking a look at that, a historic moment, just like all the historic moments that have touched me in my life. United 93, that really, really affected me. Those people. That was an average group of people who were on their way to wherever, and history that day decided their fate would be something completely different. That the fates had something else in store for them, and that they too would be chosen to make history. They would lose their lives that day, but unbeknownst to them, they would make history. And other moments, you know. So I just hope, man, I hope in my life that whatever I'm good at, I mean, whatever I'm really good at, I can do it as well as those guys, you know?
Yeah, but you're not going to save nobody's life or nothing.
I ain't going to save nobody's life, no. Is that what you think?
Yeah, well, are you going to be like an ambulance driver?
No, man, I'm not going to be I think I'm pretty well stuck in a job that I got, you know?
Well, no, I know what you mean. I mean, you just got to keep trying to be good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're not bad.
Well, all right, thank you.
You know, but you got a long way to go.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a long way to go. Fine, okay. Just so long as I can get there. That's all I'm asking here. Okay, now, it's time for tea. So that was my little sermon, and you can do whatever you want with that. A husband doesn't have sex with his wife in Dubai. That'll get you sued for $12 million. You bet. Plus, which of your favorite TV shows will get the axe? We'll tell you the shows likely to get canned in the next few weeks. Check us out on the web at www.philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our number, 877-876-PHIL. And more importantly, our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can go and get your backstage pass, your BSP. And when you have a BSP, see, if bin Laden had a BSP, he wouldn't be SOL, man. He wouldn't be DOA, baby.
Hey, DOA or who?
Yeah, if you DOA, man, he must have been like the crab by the report of DOA.
Dead on arrival? You mean you think the crab's down there? Here's bin Laden, dead on arrival. Okay, thanks. You think they're filling out some forms down there?
Yeah.
Maybe. But that cat is definitely dead. So anyway, Dubai wife sues husband for $12 million for depriving her of sex, as well she should. An Emirate man, or as they say here, an Emirati man, which I don't even know how to pronounce that, do you?
Oh, let me look at it.
Don't put it in my face. Read it over there.
Yeah, Emirati.
All right, Emirati. I guess you pronounce it like it's a car. An Emirati man was being sued for 45 million dirhams. For not having sex with his wife.
Dirham?
Dirham. It's a Emirati or Emirate piece of currency. That would be $12.25 million for not having sex with his wife, who claimed that his failure to perform caused her mental anguish, a court heard. He said, but she's 800 pounds! No, the unidentified woman said her husband did not sleep with her during the first 4 months of their marriage. That's kind of whack, isn't it? In 2008, and after that, she later discovered he suffered from erectile dysfunction.
That ain't his fault.
Well, see, that's the whole thing about premarital sex, I guess. You get this stuff figured out beforehand. This is according to the Gulf News. She told the court, when he did it for the first time, he treated me inhumanely and inappropriately. She did not elaborate. Court records filed by the woman allege that her husband, who she is now divorced from, failed to fulfill her needs. She said, I discovered later on that he suffered from erectile dysfunction. He was exactly the opposite of what he claimed to me before we signed the marriage contract. I suffered mentally, emotionally. I lost any hope to become a mother. Considering the conservative Arab values and the woman's situation in such a society, I remained silent, and I tried to adapt by praying to God that things would improve, praying that someday his erectile dysfunction would go away. Please, dear God. Anyway, he treated me roughly, and he refused to support me financially or provide me with a decent shelter. He made me resign from my work, hence I lost my only income. I had to borrow money from family and friends. Boy, what a great marriage. So this guy's not having sex with her. On top of that, he's starving her. He's treating her like a slave. And what the hell, you know?
I understand that you go to work and you don't figure that out.
Because they didn't have premarital sex.
Yeah, it's a very conservative society, man. Well,
it's a conservative society, bud. What are you going to do? You know, people, and even in America, many people don't have premarital sex. And I don't blame them. Because generally, you know, if you love somebody, you know it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You know, it's not going to have any problem if you love somebody. This guy had erectile dysfunction.
Should I have that Robert Dole commercial on Viagra?
Yeah, that's right, man. Why don't you pump some of that Robert Dole commercial down there, man, on Viagra, or those guys going Viva Viagra, whatever the hell it is. And that would have helped, I'm sure. Not considering the conservative Arab values and the woman's situation in society, I remained silent. That's a pathetic line, isn't it? Now, according to records, the ex-husband, who is a wealthy businessman, divorced the woman after 15 months. Maybe he wasn't turned on to her, you know? Maybe she had, I don't know. But to sue somebody for that kind of bread, $12 million, this cat obviously is loaded. But here's the other thing. This isn't about the fact that he didn't give her sex. This is about her wanting to get a little bit more of the community property, I would think.
Yeah, probably, man. Probably some kind of fancy way of doing it.
Who knows what the marriage laws down in the United Arab Emirates are, or is, or am. He was a sweet talker, and after we got married, I discovered this guy's full of crap. I discovered he's a womanizer who married more than 12 times. Although he was a former public figure, that didn't prevent him from allegedly manipulating decent girls and spending weeks of pleasure with them before ditching them. Following the divorce, he stripped me of all my jewelry, which he gave to me as part of the dowry. I ended up emotionally and psychologically and financially broke. I visited psychological clinics for treatment. I'm just reading it the way it would be read if this were a Japanese film and it was dubbed.
Oh, yeah. Do it again.
All right, so if this was a Japanese film and you saw them, she would say, following the divorce, he stripped me of all of my jewelry, which he gave to me as part of the dowry. Anyway, the case is pending before the Dubai courts, and I'm sure in all of their wisdom they'll figure that one out. Oh, God. All right. And finally, here's one that I'm familiar with. Oh, we don't have that much time, but the TV networks are doing what they call their upfronts. This is where they decide what shows they're going to put on TV next fall. As TV executives huddle in screening rooms the next few days watching pilots for proposed fall series, they're having to adjust to a couple of big surprises. Not long ago, few would have predicted that American Idol would still be TV's number one show, even without Simon Cowell. And even fewer would have guessed that the most watched comedy, Two and a Half Men, would be facing life without Charlie Sheen. Well, anyway, It's been a rough year for broadcasters all the way around. The major networks got pummeled by critics for a slate of uninspired new offerings last fall, which no doubt help explain why each suffered notable ratings erosion this season. Number four, NBC, was hammered the worst with double-digit declines in major categories. Among the longest-running shows that are in the industry's lingo, on the bubble, ABC's family drama Brothers and Sisters, NBC's parentally endangered comic caper Chuck, and Fox's crime drama Lie to Me. Other series such as NBC's heavily publicized The Event, ABC's superhero drama No Ordinary Family, and CBS's The Defenders are considered near certain bets for cancellation. It's a brutal process. I've been involved in it a couple of times where you just sit there waiting for the phone call. And here, I'll tell you how brutal it gets, if we have any time. Well, I'll tell you on the other side, it's brutal. Sometimes they tell you to go to New York, and you think your show's going to be picked up, and then they tell you, no, it isn't, and they give you a ticket to turn around and go back home. Seriously. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's right. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, brother. And on this show, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Sometimes all the way to the can. Now then.
What?
Anyway, TV networks are deciding who's in and who's out. So I just want to finish this story because I think you might find it illustrative, you know?
What's that mean?
Like illustrate?
Yeah, like paint a picture?
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, when they do this thing in May, it's called, oh, is your TV show going to be on the air or not? Maybe you broke your ass, you know, producing one or writing one or starring in one or being an actor in one, whatever it is. And I've lived through this process myself because I was in a couple of shows that one did actually get picked up. One actually went to series, and it's too bad because it sucked. Now, anyway...
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
All right, never mind. So now, what they do is they'll say, oh, yeah, we want to make your travel arrangements. I mean, they really get you jazzed up, man. It's like it's the most psychotic thing in the world to say, we want to make your travel arrangements for New York. Oh, wow, really? Yeah, you know, is your show is up for being on the schedule, isn't it? Yeah, that's the whole thing. And do you know the guy that makes the schedule? All kinds of crap. So, will you be available this week? Sure. So you're really getting hyped up. Then, I've heard this has happened to some people. They pack their bags. They're waiting for the limo to take them to the airport that will fly their ass to New York where they will be told that their show is on the schedule, and the limo never comes. And when they call to find out, oh, you know what, they're not picking your show up after all. I mean, it gets that close. Or I've heard of people going to the airport and their ticket isn't ready because they didn't buy the ticket because you're not going to be picked up. Or I've heard of people get on the jet, they fly all the way to New York, they get to New York, and they says, can I have my room? It was given to somebody else because your show is going to be picked up. I mean, this is the kind of heartless nonsense that goes on with these guys when they're picking these TV shows. Have you ever heard anything more... just, I mean, blatantly cruel?
Yeah, but maybe it's the only way they know how to do it because they don't know what one they're going
to
do.
Well, I mean, that's what I figure. I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's such an exacting process that... But, I mean, I think... Don't you think you ought to have it... I mean, to me, that sounds like people are not sure at all.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, think about it, man. You know, okay, let's have this show, and this show. Well, wait a minute. I mean, they're going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, even to the point when a cat's at the hotel waiting for his room.
Yeah, I mean, you should be at least sure enough so you're not going to go, oh, wait a second, better cancel his ticket.
Exactly. I mean, at some point, if you don't have in your mind a good, solid look at what you want to do on the TV schedule in the fall... And you are going back and forth and going back and forth to the point where you are not sending limousines to pick people up to go to an airport because you've decided, no, I don't want to do that. What about this show? Yeah, let's go with that. Well, that means that this guy is going to get kicked out of his room. Okay, you mean he's already there? Yeah, we'll kick him out of his room and put this person in that. Now, wait a minute. On second thought, kick both of them out of that room and call this guy up. Meanwhile, how many people have been called? How many people have been kicked out of rooms? How many guys are waiting for limousines that never come? I mean, it is a sadistic process, I think, and it's and it'll never change. That's just the way it is. But it is interesting.
Well, what about you? Didn't you go back in New York and all this stuff like that?
No, actually, what happened? I was on a show called Teachers. And it wasn't all that great. It was 6 episodes, but I really liked the people that I worked with. It was really a great group of people, but that show was a spring replacement, and they didn't go. You didn't have to go to New York for that. It was at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena. And I remember a limousine picking me up and driving me to the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena. For some reason, I could not have a good time.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably getting into some stuff that I shouldn't get into, but it was a bad time in my life. Let me just put it that way. It should have been a great time, and like I said, here's a show that I was in. We worked very hard and got picked up, and we're going to do 6 episodes, big deal. But I remember not having a good time at all during that thing, and just not enjoying myself, you know. And I should have been having a ball, but my life really blew.
Your life always blows.
Yeah, man, you always got bad stuff going on.
Probably. My life always blows.
Well, it is. You're always saying.
I ain't moping around any more than you, man. You got to see yours. You take a look in the mirror sometimes at yourself. You are like Mr. Mope, Mr. All-Time Mope-a-Dope. So anyway, that's that story, and it sucks. All right, now, I dig this. This is cracking me up, man. I think I'm gonna laugh until I lose control of my bowels on this one. Most Americans wouldn't vote for Palin or Trump.
That is pretty funny, man. You think about all the popularity.
I mean, I'm going to say something right now that a lot of people are going to like, but I'm giving it to you straight, okay? Understand. Understand that I'm a conservative. I'm a George Bush fan. I have resisted, but I'm a pragmatic guy, and I'm not, I am telling you, I'm not a guy that is my party or my political movement, come what may. I want whatever works for my country is what I want, see? Now, that's why I can say, good job, President Obama, but nobody's going to tell me that President Bush didn't have anything to do with it, because that's just not true. It's not that I'm being ideologic. It's not that I'm being partisan. It's just not true to say that President Bush's very, very difficult stewardship during this traumatic time had nothing to do with the final capture of this man. Having said that, I give all due credit to President Obama. Of course I do. Of course I do. And I agree, it was a gutsy call. They were going to take this guy out. First of all, they were going to take him out using bombs of some kind. They were actually going to fly the stealth bomber from, where the hell were they going to fly it from?
They were going to fly all you from America.
They were going to fly the stealth bomber from the United States. It has that kind of range. Can you imagine that? They were going to fly the stealth bomber all the way from the United States and just drop a bomb on his ass while he sat down to a nice, heaping, helpful bowl full of Muldo meal as, yes, the Bin Laden family, bang! You know, he's like that. Then they were going to take his ass out with a drone. But the president said, nobody's going to believe it was him. This is going to be, and I realize in light of the fact that he's not releasing the photos, there's all this conversation, but no one's going to believe it was him. No one's going to, we won't even be able to get any pictures. At least in this case, we've got some photographs. And you know something? He can change his mind at some point about these pictures. I would say you wait a period of time to release the pictures. But the point that I'm making is it was a gutsy call. You cannot not give the man credit for that. I don't think there's a conservative, I don't think there's a reputable conservative Republican politician or leader that has not done that. Of course you do. Of course you do. In the words of the great actor Daniel Day-Lewis, playing Daniel Plainview in There Will Be Blood, of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah, I love that scene, man. And you don't own a railroad? Of course you do. Of course you do.
You do that lousy.
No, I don't. I do it almost as good as Phil.
Do it again, Phil.
Well, the scene is, he says, and you don't own the railroads? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Dad, I love that. It's fantastic.
That's better than anybody I've ever seen. That's better than Daniel Day-Lewis do it.
No, how can it be better than Daniel Day-Lewis when he created the character? All right, so anyway. So, what the hell am I talking about here, man? Oh, yeah, anyway, President Obama, all credit to President Obama on this thing, man. You can't, you'd be out of your freaking mind if you didn't. Now, here's the thing that I believe has happened, and I thought so. As soon as this thing got announced, wait a second, man. You know and I know, no more of this horse dung about how the guy's not competent. No more of this horse dung about how he doesn't make a commander-in-chief. All these jokes about how he salutes. All these jokes about how he'd never been in the military. All these jokes about what a joke he is, no experience, you know, one-time senator. I mean, this is a disaster, blah, 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 blah. Barack Obama, President Obama, unless you have to admit, if you don't, then you're I'm telling you, you're not even living on the planet Earth. That cat's credibility as a leader, and especially, obviously, as a commander-in-chief, just went up tenfold. Nobody can ever again, and I'm talking about Stephen Hayes, who works with the Weekly Standard, and the guy who wrote that book on Saddam Hussein that turned out to be wrong. But anyway, he's, you know, very conservative. And even he admitted you can't play that card anymore. You can't play the Obama is a joke as a military leader card. It ain't gonna happen. Not only did he show himself to be a military leader, he's the guy that kept pushing for this particular mission, one that was going to be on the ground, very up close, very personal. He gave the green light on this thing. So all of a sudden, what's happened? Obama is a viable, credible candidate for 2012. Yes, I understand the economy is going to be numero uno. We got a big, big problem with this freaking economy. I have no idea how you fix this thing other than, yeah, okay, you can cut a lot of taxes. And yes, that will begin to grow the tax base again anew as we begin to grow businesses. But I'm not even sure that that's the way to go. I think it is such an enormous debt. It's such an enormous hole, you know, that we have dug for ourselves, bailing out a banking industry to the tune of monies. We're not even sure we had to invest that much. We don't even know how much needed to be invested. We don't know how much money was going to be lost. We had no idea how big this situation really, truly was, because all we knew, it was toxic assets. So that's a big problem, but Obama is no longer a guy to be mocked or laughed at. And who found this out quicker than anybody else? You got it. Our dear, close, personal friend, Donald Trump, who made the biggest mistake of his life when he decided to move away from talking about China and trade and oil and America's place in the global economy and all of these great things that he knows intimately and that he's very conversant in. He decided to move away from that, and he started talking about the birth certificate. And when that ran out, he wasn't done. When the birth certificate issue had finally been laid to rest, Trump was on to something else about Obama. He made Obama, not Donald Trump, the focus of his comments throughout those very early days. And the next thing you know, Obama happens to be president when he pulls the trigger on one of the biggest, you know, military operations in American history. And where does that leave Donald Trump? He hasn't talked about anything that he knows anything about. He hasn't really gotten into the grill of the American people to say, here's what we need to do with this economy in this situation. I'm Donald Trump. I know how to do this. He put all of his eggs into the Obama's a real joke basket. And guess what? No, he ain't. And you look like a chump, Trump. Now guess what's going on? And the same thing to some degree of Sarah Palin, who spent a lot of time bagging on Obama. A lot of people have spent a lot of time bagging on Sarah Palin. Well, we know what those people do. Those people look like jackasses too. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody on the left that wasted all of that energy on what a incompetent and what a neo-Nazi and what a this and what a that Sarah Palin is, boy, did they start looking stupid after a while. I mean, really silly. Especially that cat Schuster. All right, so most Americans wouldn't vote for Palin or Trump, says the headline. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin and Donald Trump may currently be two of the best-known Republican stars in America, but being a celebrity doesn't necessarily translate into concrete political support. 58% of registered voters, regardless of party affiliation, surveyed by the over the past week, indicated they'd never vote for Palin or Trump. Never. The independent poll sought to measure voter enthusiasm for potential GOP candidates by the general public. Mitt Romney of Massachusetts and Mike Huckabee of Arkansas topped the poll on enthusiasm with 38% saying they would consider voting for Romney, 15% indicating they were enthusiastic about him, 34% responded they would vote for Huckabee. If I had anything to say about it, I would say that Romney's the best bet. I almost thought that Trump had a fighting chance if Trump would have been above the fray and continued talking about these things that he was talking about that got me interested in the first place. He didn't do that. He turned into Donald Trump, the TV host. He turned into Donald Trump, the gossip sheet editor. He turned into Donald Trump, the celebrity apprentice guy. He turned into just another jive-ass, jive-mother on The View, you know. Romney's the guy, in my opinion. Now, I know he ain't all that sexy, but I'll tell you one thing about Romney. He's clear. He doesn't hit below the belt. He talks about the issues. He's not very colorful.
Obama's colorful.
Shut up, man.
Why don't you shut up? So anyway, 15% of respondents indicated they are enthusiastic about Palin. Only 24% they would consider voting for. Trump received a 9% enthusiasm rating. What does enthusiastic mean?
Probably all jumping up and down and everything.
What? Hey, are you enthusiastic? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't believe you. All right, so when we come back, the 10 most useless college majors. You got to listen to this. If you are graduating from, high school and you're on your way to college, yes, I was going to say graduating from college, you have to listen to this list that we're about to lay on you when we come back from the break. The 10 most useless college majors. So we'll depress the hell out of you with that list. And don't forget to check us out on the web at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back. Our final segment of the show. Don't forget, you can visit philhenryshow.com. Check out a show log that will tell you just what the hell we did on the show tonight. And you can look at that, and you can also, of course, go over our souvenir store. Is that right, bud?
Yeah, well, go over and get a Phil Henry T-shirt.
Man, you must have some kind of Tourette syndrome or something.
Hey, Tourette syndrome? What the hell's wrong with you, man?
I was going to say a mug, and I say a T-shirt, and it came out T-E-E.
A mug or a T-shirt? How does it come out
T-E-E? I don't know.
Ooh, a bug or something. All right. 10 most useless college majors. Listen up very carefully as you enter into your college life. You high school seniors, those of you who are now moving on, yes, moving to the hallowed halls, to the ivy-covered halls, and all that bullcrap. Now, you'll be heading off to college, and you're going to be sitting your ass in there, and you're going to be like, you know, what do I do? With college graduation nearly upon us, two questions are running through the minds of nearly every soon-to-be alumnus. Was my degree worth it? And what do I do now? To find the most useless degree college students can get with their 4 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars, the Daily Beast wanted to know which majors offered only the fewest job opportunities, but those that also tend to pay the least. Now, this is not really something that's going to help a college graduate because they've already made their bed and now they've got to pee in it, you know. Take it easy. It wasn't that funny. The Daily Beast considered the following data points, weighed equally with each degree's numbers compared to the average for each category. To achieve a statistical category... Get out of here with this bullcrap.
Just read it, man.
Well, they're giving me all of the, you know, rationale, you know.
The methodology.
Well, get a load of the big word, man.
Wow.
All right. The 10th most meaningless college major. I say this is mostly, this will really help high school graduates. The college guys, what are they going to do? Hey, guess what? Your degree sucks. I know. Thank you. The 10th most useless degree to have, one in nutrition. The median starting salary, $42,200. The median mid-career salary, $56,000. The change in jobs from 2008 to 2018, they are expecting to add 5,600 jobs. That's expected the number of positions available for the alumnus to compete for. 5,600 additional jobs. The number of students awarded degrees, 80,756 between 2008 and 2009. What that means is essentially this. There are more degrees that have been awarded than is worthwhile for the student to be competing for these 5,600 additional jobs that will be added. And you ask yourself, you know, why is the nutritionist no longer the career that it used to be? And it could very well be that a lot of people are taking responsibility for their own health, you know?
Yeah, that's when you don't need to go to doctor or nothing.
Because nutrition is something that every human being, every American, everybody on the planet should already know something about. Either you're involved in good nutrition or you're not, you know?
Yeah, I like to eat a lot of the grains on account of the bowel movement.
Why did you have to say that?
What are you doing, man?
Why do you got to go into detail? I don't even know if I'm going to finish this list. Number 9, chemistry. Number 8, mechanical engineering and technology. The 8th most useless college major, mechanical engineering and technology. Number 7, music. Boy, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Number 6, child and family studies. Number 5, fashion design. Number 4, advertising. Number 3, agriculture. Number 2, horticulture. And the most useless degree to have, journalism. Because we can't read anyway. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is John Ilk. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, for all your Phil Hendry needs, go to philhendryshow.com. If you haven't gotten enough of Phil today, you can get enough of Phil tomorrow. That's right, philhendryshow.com. Till tomorrow, Dick Clark, everybody.
Phil Hendry.